Okay. This may seem a lot like Bill's presentation. It really isn't. I'm focusing on alcohol-related injury rather than injury, and there is a difference, which I will explain. I'm also looking at volume in addition to heavy drinking, and focus on the last year rather than a life course. And I would like to thank my co-authors, Yuyi and Bill, and this, along with the other presentations, was supported by our National Alcohol Research Center grant. And no relationships to Ducose. Okay, well, you all, I'm sure, are aware that injury and alcohol, the association between the two, is well documented in emergency department studies. And both the volume of consumption and particular drinking patterns have been found to be associated with injury. Those drinking patterns frequently have been episodic heavy drinking and frequent heavy drinking. Those seem to be most predictive of alcohol-related injury. But few studies have examined this relationship in general populations. And one study which did found that the risk of injury in the general population seemed to increase with as little as one drink per day. So differences in the risk of injury from drinking based on race and ethnicity has received little attention. However, there's been some recent literature suggesting that this is really an area in the U.S. that really needs to be highlighted, that there could be a lot going on here that we don't know about. A review of racial ethnic differences in injury mortality in the U.S. found that alcohol seemed to be disproportionately higher among blacks and Hispanics compared to whites. And this was based actually on the lower rates in these surveys of alcohol use and problems. So in this particular study, we wanted to begin filling the gap in our understanding of these racial ethnic disparities in the risk of injury morbidity. And we wanted to examine the association of alcohol-related injury from both average volume and heavy drinking patterns. And we use risk function analysis of the data from four of the U.S. National Alcohol Surveys. I won't go into this because everybody else already has. We're using four of the surveys. We're including only current drinkers, so we have about 10,000 whites, over 2,500 blacks, and 2,800 Hispanics. Okay, alcohol-related injury. This was a different question than what Bill asked. This was in a specific injury series that we've had for many years now, the National Alcohol Surveys. We asked respondents about their having any injury for which they thought about getting treatment, regardless of whether or not they did get treatment. And then for this particular analysis, we focused on the most recent of those injuries, and we were interested actually in the last year. And then we ask about any drinking within the 6 hours prior to that entry. And that's the same definition we've used in emergency room studies that we're trying to be consistent across venues. In terms of volume of consumption, we ascertained the quantity and frequency. This was summed across the individual beverage types. And then we averaged to get the average number of drinks monthly. And then the heavy drinking was the 5+ days that you have already heard about in the previous presentations. We use fractional polynomial regression to model the relationship between risk of injury and both the continuous volume, average drinks per month, and the number of 5+ drinking days per year. We did this with and without controlling for socioeconomic status and demographic characteristics, including gender, age, education, employment, income, marital status, and urbanicity. It's been thought frequently that many of these characteristics may explain some of the differential findings across the ethnic groups in the U.S. So this is just a little descriptive table showing you what we have. As you can see, the very top line, alcohol-related injury, very small proportions. The white group were more likely to be older, to be more educated, higher income, more likely to be married, and a little bit more likely to be rural. Okay, here you can see the probability of an alcohol-related injury from the average volume. This is the uncontrolled. I hope it looks better up there than it does on this screen because it's hard to see. The very solid line are the whites. The dashed line are blacks, and the sort of more dotted line are Hispanics. So here you can see that the Hispanics actually are at a higher probability of alcohol-related injury, up to about 110 drinks average per month. That's about 3 or 4 drinks per day. Then either whites or Hispanics, whites or blacks, and then whites supersede the Hispanics, and then at the very high ends they sort of converge and then go off. Well, the very high end, those are probably not very reliable because the numbers are fairly small. Interestingly, you can see that blacks are up until, I'd say after about 45 drinks or so, they then fall off and are a much lower probability. Here's the same data control, and interestingly, now that we're controlling for all these demographic characteristics, blacks are really at a much lower rate than either Hispanics or whites. Hispanics and whites still show the same pattern. They're a little tighter together, but the pattern's still there. The blacks have really fallen off quite a lot. So here you see the same data for the 5-plus drinking days and probability of injury. And here you see that Hispanics take off at the very low levels, and then at about 24 drinks, whites supersede them. Blacks, again, are low. And this is even more evident when we control these demographic characteristics and socioeconomic characteristics. So here you can see right along, blacks are at a very low level. There's no rise, depending on number 5-plus drinking days. So it sort of makes you wonder, up until very, very high levels. Okay, so in summary, the risk was greatest for Hispanics up to about 110 drinks per month. That's 3 or 4 drinks per day, and above 260 drinks per month. Risk was greatest for whites between these levels, and blacks were at lowest risk at all monthly volume levels, and especially when SBS was controlled. Whites had the highest risk of alcohol-related injury based on 5-plus drinking days after the very lowest level of that number of days. and blacks were at lowest risk of alcohol-related injury at all 5-plus level, and as I showed you, this was especially evident when the demographic characteristics were controlled. There may be some reasons for some of our findings, and I think these findings are not too different than what Bill showed in a whole different kind of analysis, and I think some of the explanations may be similar. Blacks tend to have a later onset of drinking and heavy drinking with longer and more stable heavy drinking trajectories, while whites exhibit marked declines in heavy drinking as they transition out of their 20s. We did control age in our models. However, younger, heavier drinkers may be more prone to injury through increased risk-taking or lower tolerance to alcohol, both of which may be more prevalent among whites. So even though we control for age, there may be a differential modification effect of age on injury across the ethnic and racial groups. Hispanic males tend to exhibit episodic heavy drinking, potentially leading to greater tolerance and lower risk of injury associated with heavy drinking, 5-plus occasions. And since this is a normative drinking style among many Hispanics, they may be also less likely to be in risky situations accompanying that 5-plus drinking, which could potentially result in injury. Unlike blacks and whites, for whom 5-plus drinking occasions may be more likely to be accompanied by other high-risk situations which would put them at entry. Controlling for demographic and SES characteristics had little effect on the risk of alcohol-related injury for whites or Hispanics, while the effect for blacks was more marked with a lower, flatter risk curve for both volume and 5-plus drinking. As I mentioned earlier, when we decided to control these characteristics, that SES has been presumed to account for some of these racial ethnic differences in alcohol consumption and negative consequences. However, our findings do not support this relationship, and blacks seem to be at lower risk, regardless of whether or not we control it, even at lower risk when we did control. Interestingly, blacks may be more likely to underreport their drinking, and they've been found more likely to consume beverages with a higher mean alcohol content than either whites or Hispanics, and I think Bill has done work in this area especially. However, interestingly, we didn't adjust for drink size, but if we had, then the data here should have provided counter results, because blacks reporting stronger drinks but the same number, and us not knowing they were stronger, they probably would have been at a higher risk of alcohol-related injury, and we actually still found the opposite. So they may be, something may be going on even more than what is apparent here. It's hard to know. We would like to have adjusted for drink size. We weren't able to over the 4 surveys. And I felt we needed to include the 4 surveys that we had a large enough N, because as you could see, we had very small percent that were reporting an alcohol-related injury during the last year. So, limitations. The definition of an alcohol-related injury may have little to do with a causal relationship, just because someone had maybe as little as one drink in the 6 hours prior to injury. However, we've used this same definition in emergency department studies, and we have found that the majority of those who do report any drinking prior to injury actually also report a causal association of their drinking with their injury. Respondents' recall of drinking and the most recent injury over the last year could have some biases. And we were also not able to analyze data by cause of injury. And prior research has shown that there's a greater association of alcohol with certain kinds of injury, for example, violence, than other kinds of injury. So then in conclusion, the disparity in alcohol-related injury was found for Hispanics compared to whites at the same average monthly volume of consumption at lower and higher volume levels, but not for the same number of 5-plus drinking days. And a reverse disparity, and I might mention that when I sent this manuscript in, by the way, it is going to be coming out in the January issue of the Journal of Studies on Alcohol and Drugs, when they, the first run through with their reviews, they did not like the term reverse disparity, so I removed it. I kept it in the slide because I sort of liked it. It was easy. It was sort of descriptive, I thought. Anyway, so we found a reverse disparity for blacks for both volume and 5-plus days, especially when demographic and SES characteristics were taken into account. And so finally then, I think these mixed findings suggest the importance of considering race, ethnicity, and future studies of injury risk related to alcohol use and heavy drinking patterns. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Dr. Chopitel? And are there any other final questions for any of our speakers this afternoon?
In terms of the resident approach, do you have you seen any effect yet with the younger population in terms of their use of mobile phones? Is that an example?
We have done some study of the more recent surveys, the last two, in fact, in which we have a mobile phone sample. And you definitely see higher levels of youth and also ethnic minority groups in those mobile found samples. So it's something we're increasingly, for example, in the last survey, which is actually done in 2015, we had 40% cell phone sample. In Bill's study in Washington State, it went up to 50%. So we are and in the alcohol harm to others survey that we're doing as well, we've increased it as well. So I think there is some question in the field as to whether ultimately a single frame sample of simply cell phone numbers is not going to be in some ways better. I don't know if that answers your question.
All right, there's no other questions. This concludes the session. So thank you to our speakers.